Yes, Lord, you are coming soon for your bride. And Father, we know what a glorious day that will be. And so, Lord, until that day, may we be preparing our hearts for you, Lord, to reside in us. Father, may we be so filled with your Spirit, Lord, that it would be undeniable to those around us. And so, Lord, though we are crackpots, Lord, we empty out. Lord, refill us tonight. Father, Lord, I just know I need these midweek things to get me through to Sunday. And so, Father, thank you for this midweek study. Lord, as we pick apart your word, I pray it would come alive in our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23 as the youth depart. Bye. It was great worshiping with y'all. All you teens and youth are welcome to go over to Y412. Awesome. Wonderful. Joshua chapter 23. Now, we are almost done with Joshua today, and then next week we'll be done with Joshua, and we will move on to Judges. And what we've seen is the Israelites have come into the promised land. They've started dividing up the land. Joshua is very old. He's about to die. And basically what we have here are the words, his final words from his deathbed. Now, we all know that those people who know their life is coming to the end often want to say something that is poignant and important. What was sad is one day I stumbled across a YouTube video of a gentleman that knew he was dying and thought he would make a video to all the YouTubers, to everyone out there in YouTube land. And he looked pretty bad. But what was interesting is I kept waiting for something, you know, meaningful and meaty, because I thought if it's good, I'm going to snag it and snag his video and use it as an illustration. But man, oh man, was this guy ever preoccupied with himself? Me, 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 me. And I was like, oh, it's such a shame. You know, when you have this opportunity right up here, right up front, my friend, come this way. Right up front. Yay! Okay. So Joshua is, unlike this gentleman that I came across his video, Joshua is, he's concerned for the Israelites in the future that they were going to have, to make sure that they had instructions to not fall away. Because oftentimes when you have a movement and the leader dies, oftentimes the movement dies with the leader. Oftentimes the movement is contingent upon one man, and it should not be that way. You know, my heart is that if something should happen to me, that HBC would continue, because it's a work of God, not a work of Randy. And so here we're going to see Joshua is concerned with the people of Israel, but not so much that God, that they need him as much as they need to keep from straying. He has definitely been someone to help keep them focused. So keep in mind that at this time, it's been about 25 years since they crossed the Jordan. So Joshua is up in age. They've had now some time of peace. They've divided up the land, and we come to verse 1 of chapter 23. And it says, now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies around about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for the elders, for the heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, I'm old, advanced in age. I have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. And for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. And so Joshua at this time is 110 years old. He's about to die. And what I like is he calls all the leaders of the nation, the elders, the heads, the judges, the officers. He is trusting that by having these men, that they are going to convey the message true and faithfully. And it just reminded me of the importance for any pastor, any leader, any person who serves in any capacity to have those people that you can trust with instructions, not gossip. We discussed that last week in detail, and we touched on it a little bit. No, those that you can trust with instructions, especially when it comes to God's word. And so in a church, what I look for as the pastor are men and women who are grasping the concepts that are being taught, so that I can trust in them should something happen to me, to carry on in the same fashion and direction that God's word says. So he looked for that. So obviously these men were men that Joshua trusted. And I just said, you know, my heart was like, man, I want more men like that, more women like that. And we do have some, but there's nothing wrong with having more faithful men and women in the church of God. So notice, Joshua has led the people. Joshua has been in the desert for 40 years. He was one of the only two people who had a positive thing, who trusted in the Lord. But he doesn't praise the work of his hands. Here he is in the last days. He's on his deathbed, basically. And he doesn't say, guys, remember, I brought you this way, and we went to battle. And you remember all those men I helped you kill, and we led the way, and we did not fret. Nothing about himself. He only wants to focus on God. He only wants to praise God. And I like when I see seasoned saints that are... this sounds bad. I like when I run into seasoned saints that are getting ready to go to the Lord. I don't like to see seasoned saints going to the Lord, but when they are, because it comes to all of us, when I see someone mature enough in their faith that even though their life is passing, all they can focus on is the glory of God, that is a sight to behold. And so that's what we have here with Joshua. And he's saying, man, I've seen what God has done. You've seen what God has done. He's reminding them. And he says, hey, I'm getting ready to leave. And I want to make sure that you keep everything in proper perspective. And so he calls the leaders. He says, guys, what I'm about to tell you, you need to pass on to the rest of the people, because Israel is spread out now. They're all in their prospective regions. And he wants to make sure that everyone knows, down to the smallest family, to the single family, to whoever. He wants every one of the Israelites to know these instructions. So, brothers and sisters, the instructions we have here. Caitlin, can you bring my mic down just a tad? That's why that feedback's coming in. Okay, thank you. Since these are important instructions for the Israelites, I guarantee you these are important instructions for us today. So let's go to verse 4. He says, see, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. Verse 5. And the Lord your God will expel them before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land, as the Lord your God promised. So he's saying, all right, so here's the thing. Yes, we've got all this territory. We've gone to battle. We've won all this territory. However, it's not done. It's not over. There's still more. More to be had. And he's saying, listen, God has not failed to keep his promise. Guys, don't stop now. Because our proclivity is, you know, we start doing something, we see some progress spiritually or in our lives, and then what happens is we just sit there and bask in the victory and forget the battle hasn't ended. brothers and sisters, when does the battle end? When we get to heaven. The battle will end when we get to heaven, or when heaven comes to us and we get raptured. Then the battle's over. At that point in time, as far as us having a spiritual battle. So God has a plan for us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, starting in verse 3, it's speaking to us. Listen to this. It says, "Blessed be the God of our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ," listen to this, "with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ." What this is saying is, in Ephesians, is basically what Joshua is saying to the Israelites in Old Testament. Listen, God has a plan, and that plan includes you having victory even still. You've had victory. He kept that promise. You've seen those victories. I've seen those victories. Now I'm going to pass, but you go on, and you're going to have more victories because God has already told us that all that land belongs to us. Well, for us, Ephesians is telling us we have every spiritual blessing. You have all of the Holy Spirit in you. I have all of the Holy Spirit in me. So the question is, why don't we realize that? Why don't we walk around going, I have every spiritual blessing. I have all that God, his promise to me is yes and amen. And he said, he will supply my need according to his riches and glory, which are found in Christ Jesus. He said he'd never leave nor forsake me. He said that I am more than a conqueror. He said all these promises to me, yet oftentimes I walk around defeated. I walk around defeated. Oftentimes I'm too caught up in what's going on around me. Oh, the election. Oh, gosh, what are we going to do? What's America going to do? And it's like, God has a plan. Oh, where's my rent going to come from? God has a plan. Now, if I'm in sin, God has a plan. And we're going to look at that here momentarily. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. You just got to go back. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Look at this. There's always, to God's provision and blessings, not salvation, but salvation is free. You earn it through Christ. You get it through Christ. He paid for it. But for the blessings, for peace, for all these things, there are prerequisites. And here, for the Israelites, there's a prerequisite to the having victory and taking over the land. Yes, God promised it to them, but he won't force them to do their part. Look at in Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting verse 12. Listen to this. "And now Israel," here you go, "what does the Lord your God require of you?" Great question. What does he require of you? Listen, God wants to give you this, give you that, wants to bless you, protect you, manna from heaven, water from a rock, pillar, parting the sea, parting the Jordan, giving you all these cities into your hand with all their riches and golds, moving into the houses that you did not build, the castles you didn't build, but you get to take acquire them. So what does the Lord require of you? Here you go. "But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways." Not some of his ways and some of his ways over here, but to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God, And how should you serve him? With all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. To keep it, to serve him, to love him, to walk in his ways, not my ways. The problem with me is I have common sense. And we've talked about this. The problem with common sense is it's common. The thing about God is he's uncommon. He's supernatural. So when I'm walking in his ways, I'm walking in supernatural ways. And sometimes supernatural doesn't make sense. I may not even like it at first. But here he says, what is it? Listen, God promises. So far, you've seen he's kept every promise. But what does he require of you? Well, love him with all your heart. Serve him with all your heart. Keep his commandments. Walk in his ways. Now, the key here, though, is love. And we'll see that here momentarily. Hang that on your belt. Verse 6. And look at this. He says this, therefore... So in light of everything that God has said, everything that we've seen God do, and we've seen it too, we've been reading and rehashing the story. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all. Sometimes, listen, sometimes to do what God wants us to do takes a lot of courage. Like, for instance, you've seen the movie War Room? Remember the guy had stolen the drugs? If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Well, he stole these drugs. He was a pharmaceutical delivery boy, guy, whatever. And he kept some. And he was already fired, but he decided, you know what? I got to walk in truth. So he went and he turned them in. Listen, to anyone, they would be, well, I'm already fired and, you know, hey, it's not going to change anything. In fact, I'll get in a lot of trouble. I may go to jail. Then where would my family be? This doesn't make any sense. It's common sense. He walked right with God. And you know what? It's more rewarding when you come out and you walk right with God. Some people are like, well, we have to live together because financially we can't. And it's like, you just don't trust God. Well, I have to take a little money under the table because otherwise I can't make it. No, you got to trust God. You got to be courageous to keep and to do all. And oftentimes what God wants me to do and you to do goes completely against logic. It does. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Pastor Randy, I don't know which way to go. I'm so confused. Well, my guess is you're not acknowledging God in all your ways. Maybe just some of your ways. Just, you know, on Sunday and Wednesday. Listen, God is not a God of confusion, and he wants to direct your path. And the end of God's path is always blessings. That's our God. He's a God of many blessings. But we are the people of many sins. But I love 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So yeah, we are people of many sins. He is a God of many blessings, but he is also a God of much forgiveness. But we also have to be a people of repentance, if that makes sense. Okay, verse 6, continue. So therefore, in light of everything, be very courageous to keep and to do all, just as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. Lest you turn aside from it to the right or to the left. Listen, Satan doesn't care if you go to the right or to the left, just as long as you're not going straight. And you say, well, what's the right and what's the left? Well, the right would be licentiousness. You know, if I go off to the right, I'm just like, hey, well, I'm saved. I can do whatever I want. You know, hey, I can just come back and ask God to forgive me. the left is just as bad. Legalism. You can't do this. You can't do that. You got to be this way. Oh, you got your hair too long. Well, then you can't be saved. Oh, your dress isn't long enough. Oh, you don't. You do that. Oh, you smoke. You do this. All these things where all of a sudden you're going to church on Sunday, not on Saturday. This legalism takes us away from the grace. And we've been looking at that in Galatians. And we're almost done with Galatians too, by the way. But that's been the whole message from Galatians. We're not to be under legalism, but we're also not to take advantage of our grace that God has poured out upon us. We need to be in the middle where, yes, I stumble, but I come back. I don't stumble on purpose. I stumble and I want to be right with God. So I'm not licentious, but at the same time, I'm not legalistic. I don't judge, and I don't pass judgment, and I don't tell people you can't, you cannot, you're going to hell if you do this, and we can't do that. So either way, Satan loves it. But here he's saying, listen, don't go to the right or to the left. Why? With God, there is no gray area. There's no gray area. There's no God grades on a curve. He grades purely by the cross of Christ. And Cross gave all of himself and all of his blood so that we can be totally forgiven of all of our sins. Now, the blessings, though, only come when you and I try to stay on center with God's word and not stray to the right or the left. Whether it be temptation or legalism, both bad. Both can be devastating. Both pull away and draw away from the cross of Christ. So he says, don't go to the right or to the left. Just stay right in the middle. Just stay right where God wants you to go. Verse 7. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you. So what we know is they've taken over a vast portion of land, but there are still some more land to take over. There are still some nations God wants to drive out, have them drive out. And he says, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. I like what David Guzik says in his commentary right here. He says, you know, in the mafia, they have this term, this saying, he says, where they say, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. What he's saying here is, listen, don't even mention the name of their gods. We are to love our enemies, but not their gods. Okay, you don't want to go, well, to love their enemy, to love my enemy, I'm going to go participate in their worship. The worship of their gods. Nope, 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 nope. And so what he's saying is don't even mention their gods. Don't get caught up in their idol worship. Their gods are false. And by the way, let me encourage you. Be careful when people bring things to you to research. Hey, you know, is a Ouija board evil? Is this evil? Is that evil? Be careful. Because what happens sometimes is people will spend so much time looking for that information more than they look for the Lord, and they get caught up in it. And that's what he's saying here. And I've seen that happen. I've seen, listen, I do not recommend you going and looking up atheist arguments. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go look at the atheist arguments, because if you are not prepared, you're going to get swallowed alive. I can tell you there have been a couple of nights, and the reason why I look them up is because I want to be able to answer them. But there have been a couple of times when I'm sitting there going, wow, maybe there's not a God. And then I go, no, I know better. It's like, what were you thinking, Randy? And I go to prayer and I'm like, dear God, man, these are powerful delusions. So let me encourage you. Just focus. By the way, I've said this before. You know, in the Treasury, the Federal Treasury, when they have a new agent and they want that agent to be able to recognize counterfeits, you know what they do? They don't bring them into a room and put a bunch of counterfeits there for them to study. They just put them in a room and let them mess with the real thing over and over and over till they get so familiar with the real thing that a false is quickly identified. Become so familiar with Jesus that when a false one comes up, you go, nope, there's something wrong there. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but something ain't right here. So be careful. So here he says, listen, don't even mention their names. Don't even mention them. Nor cause anyone to swear by them. Well, there's a good one. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. I think that's a good idea. But ye shall hold fast to the Lord, your God, as you have done to this day. And you think, well, why in the world would he feel the need to warn them about bowing down to these false gods? They've witnessed the real God. They've witnessed God Almighty doing all these incredible things for their life, right? You'd think, no-brainer. Come on. Well, the fact of the matter is, we're going to serve something. We're all going to serve something or someone. And so what happens is, We're going to finish Joshua next week. And then we move on to Judges. And here's very interesting. Judges chapter 1, we're going to read. You get a preview. We're going to read how 7 of the tribes did not drive out the nations around them. Then right after that in chapter 2, we're going to read about a recount of Joshua dying. Because Joshua dies in this next chapter next week. We see Joshua die. But in Judges 1, 7 of the tribes do not run out the nations. They let them remain. In chapter 2, we rehash Joshua's death. In chapter 3, we're going to hear how they started worshiping other gods and everything goes downhill. Joshua just died, just told them, don't do it. And guess what they did? They went and did it. It's funny, but it's sad. You know, on Sunday or a Wednesday, I can teach something like, you know, hey, don't gossip. And last Wednesday, it was like, you know, I was kind of intense on that a little bit, maybe. And we'll walk out here, and no sooner we leave the sanctuary, and I said, don't gossip, and I showed you the scripture and how God hates it, and what happens? People are gossiping. Lord, help me. I get it, Joshua. Josh, man, I get it, bro. I see why you're concerned about these people. Now, trust me, this isn't just for you. This is for me too. There have been times when I've taught a message, I've walked out here and I've done the exact thing I was just teaching, and I tell the person, I'm like, I just taught on that. Look at what's coming out of my mouth. It's like, oh my gosh. The Lord is gracious to us. But we need to recognize, brothers and sisters, you are capable, I am capable of falling before another idol. How do you know it's an idol? Well, how much of your thought life goes to God and how much to this other thing? Person, place. God needs to be first. Why? Everything we have, everything we are, everything we do, everything we can do is from Him and because of Him. And it should be for Him. Verse 8. But ye shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. So listen, guys, y'all, people, Israelites, you can do it. We can do it. There are days, are there not weeks where you just like, man, I was so focused on God this week. Everything was rocking. God was here. I could feel it. So you can do it. And then we have those weeks where it's like, where are you, Lord? And He's like, I'm right here. You walked away. I was like, where are you going? And you're like, I'm going off to this sin. I'll be back. Oftentimes, listen, we don't recognize that we're doing that. But listen, when He says, you have done it to this day, we can overcome sin. We can overcome addiction. We can overcome pride, depression, lust, anxiety. You know how we overcome it? Not by trying to fight with it, but just simply seeking after God instead. That's one of the reasons why I kind of have a problem with like these support group things for sins or addictions or that. Because you go to these support groups and what do? They talk about their problem. They focus on their addiction. And now it makes them want that addiction more because they're reminiscing about it. I say, stop talking about it. Stop thinking about it. Don't even mention it. And focus on God. That's what Joshua is saying here. Don't even mention their gods. Because the next thing you know, you're going to find yourself taking an oath by it. I swear I'll never smoke pot again. Then the next thing you know, well, maybe just once. Not good. So the secret here, because you have done it. You have focused on God before. Obviously, you're here. Because you want more Jesus. You want more of the Word. Well, you can do it. The problem is, too often, we don't want to. And so, he says, don't even mention them. Don't talk about their gods. Don't mention them. Don't think about them. Just focus on the God that we are to serve. Love Him with all your heart. Focus on Him. And you know what? You can walk rightly. You won't get sucked in to some false worship or God. Verse 9. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. Listen. Amen. We've all changed to some degree. Some of us more, some of us less. We've all had sins in our life. Some of your sins are still haunting you. Some of them are completely gone. Some of your sins were great and strong in your life, and some of them were piddly and weak. But God has dealt with some of them, hasn't He? And by the way, if you're here tonight and you haven't experienced freedom, won't you surrender to Him? Because it is true freedom. I'm here to tell you. So he says this, listen, the Lord has already driven out before you great and strong. What do you think He's going to do now? Quit? He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Has He begun a work in your heart? Has He begun to call you His child? Well, trust me, if you keep seeking Him, you keep your eyes on Him, guess what's going to happen? You're going to grow up. You're going to continue and you're going to begin to see blessings in your life. The kind that God wants to give you. But notice, Joshua's not taking, still isn't taking any credit for anything. He doesn't take the credit. He gives all the glory to God. He takes and puts the focus on the God who's going to help them to defeat these other nations and to not focus on anything demonic. Anything that may hinder or snare them. And he's going to get more specific. Watch this. But as for you, now let's take it personal. So yeah, God has driven out these huge nations, these mighty nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. God, he's saying this to the Israelites. He's saying, God has driven out your enemies, but He used you to do it. He used you and your strength. He strengthened you and made you stronger so that you could have victories. And He wants to do that in your life tonight. He says this, listen, God has driven some out, but He also will make you to where you can stand against the temptations in this life. Why? Remember, I've been saying this through Joshua over and over. We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Are you sure? That didn't sound very conquery. We are more than conquerors. That's better. That's what he's saying. He says, no one was able to stand against you to this day. Why? Because you were seeking God's face. And by the way, the moment they stopped seeking God's face, they became less than conquerors. They became defeated. And he will continue in the future. He's telling them, God isn't done with you guys. There's still more to fight. Verse 10. I love this part. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Now, when I read that and I think of one man will chase thousands, I think of two people. I think of David. You know, all the people saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And it was true. It was accurate. But I also think of Samson. Samson, which we're going to see in Judges, by the way. And at the men's retreat, we're going to study him in great detail. But Samson, here was a guy that he had all of God's promises and he squandered them for sex. For lust. He squandered them for lust and for sex, and he was strong. Listen, brothers and sisters, you have the might of God where 1,000 could not stand against you as long as you do what you serve the God, the Lord with all your heart. You love God with all your heart. You keep his commandments, keep his statutes. You are undefeatable. I tell people this all the time. I don't fear death. Why? Because I'm invincible until God is done with me as long as I'm doing what God has asked me to do. I'm invincible. Now, if I stop doing what God wants me to do, then I am vulnerable. Are you invincible? Do you feel invincible? Do you feel that confidence of knowing, you know what? If 1,000 were to come against me, nothing that they could do would prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why? Because God of heaven is with me. There's this mafia guy, true story. He was to be a witness, and he was restless. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to go to the laundromat. He was in the witness protection program, but he goes, no one knows me here. I'm just going to go to the laundromat. It's like 2 a.m. I'm going to do my laundry. So he went to the laundromat, and lo and behold, 2 hitmen that he knew who they were, walked into the laundromat. They found him. And he was horrified. He's like, there's no one here. It's 2 a.m. It's them and me. And the two guys looked at him and turned and walked away. Later at the trial, when those two hitmen were called to witness, they said, why didn't you kill him in the laundromat? They said, because of the two big dudes with him. He said, we were alone. They go, nope, you had 2 biggest dudes I ever saw, one on each side of you, and we backed out. Listen, if God is for you, who can be against you? That's a true story, by the way. It really happened, and these hitmen really testified that there were 2 guys. I know this one person that tried to kill a prostitute, and he kicked her out of his car, and when she hit the curb, from the driver's seat, he fired 5 shots. From the driver's seat, he just kicked her out the door, and she fell to the curb. He fired 5 shots. Not 1 shot hit her. That was God's provision for him as a believer. Believer, I use that term. And her as an innocent person. But listen, that's why, you know, people say, well, what if someone pointed a gun to your head? Well, here's what I know. Either the gun won't go off, or the bullet's going to go around my head like the Matrix or something. You know, I'm invincible till God's done with me. Why? Because I'm doing what he told me to do. He said, Randy, go to the desert. It's hot. It's windy. It's dry. But I've called you there to teach people. And look what he's done. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll keep doing it because you have called me. I'm just, look what he says here. Verse 11. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves. In other words, don't be worried about your spouse or your kids. Or you focus on you. Take careful heed to yourself that you love the Lord your God. Do you realize love is not a feeling? Love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. It's a commitment. Sometimes in a marriage, you don't feel like loving your spouse. But you say, you don't go, well, you know, bye, see you later. No, you stay committed and you get past that, and then the love comes back and you're back in good graces with each other. With God, listen, there are going to be days that you like, I don't feel God's presence. I don't feel that tingly, goosebumply feeling. Well, God doesn't want you to walk by feelings or emotions. He wants you to be committed to love him and to stand strong. And that's why he says, therefore, take careful heed to yourself that you love the Lord your God. In other words, love is an action. It's a commitment. Might as well take heed that you stay committed to the Lord your God and don't give in to other idols that'll drain your energy and your time. Love is a free will choice. In fact, if love was not a free choice, it wouldn't be love, would it? That's not love. You don't want to go kidnap someone and say, yep, that's my girlfriend. And she's like, oh, she just loves me. No. Well, God doesn't want that from you either. If you want to walk away from God, he'll let you. But love is a free-willed choice. Basically, Joshua is making an appeal from God to the will of man. God is appealing to your will and saying, love. Now, for the New Testament, it's the same for us. Jude chapter 1, verse 21 says this. Keep yourself in the love of God. Does that mean God sometimes falls out of love with you? No. He loves you completely and utterly. You have to keep yourself in the love of God. Look what he says. Jude chapter 1, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So keep yourself in love with God. And realize that you're not always going to feel his presence there, but you stay committed because you know his promises. Or else, here you go, verse 12. Or else, if indeed you do go back. Now, by the way, that if is the most powerful conjunction in the Bible. It is that powerful conjunction that says, if you do good or if you do bad, you have a choice. The if means you're able to choose whether or not you walk in blessings or cursings. You are and I are able to. No, so he says, if indeed you go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them and go to them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be a snare, a trap to you, a scourge in your side, a thorn in your eyes, until you perish from this good land, which the Lord, your God, has given you. In the New Testament, we're told this. Do not be unequally yoked. Missionary dating is not good. Well, you know, she's really cute, and I really like her, and she's so nice. We have so much in common. Is she saved? No, but I'm hoping that I keep dating her. You know, she'll come to church and she'll get saved and it'll be great. No, dude, what's going to happen is she's going to drag you down and pretty soon we ain't going to see you no more. He's saying here, don't intermingle. Now, by the way, oh my gosh, I actually saw a pastor online who was talking against interracial marriage. That is not what this is. This is talking not interracial, but this is talking about interrelational, whether someone has a relationship with Christ or not. Did you know, by the way, that Moses was married to a black woman? In fact, that's why there was such an uproar amongst his family. God is not prejudiced. And I am so tired of this. You know, before, you know, all this Black Lives Matter, I didn't see race. I don't see race. I did not. I didn't even think about it. And the fact that they're saying, I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little political. The fact that they're saying that all this unfairness to black people, while they're sitting there, like the BTA, you know, Black Entertainment Awards, all these millionaires, and they're talking about Black Lives Matter. It's like, you guys are all rich. We got a black president. We got a bunch of... You cannot sit here and say America's racist. You can't. Sure, there are some people in America that are, but there are some pedophiles too. There are some transgenders, and you got all this kind of stuff. There's all different kinds, but you can't definitely, there wasn't racism in America until all this hogwash. But here what he's saying is, listen, watch who you marry. Do not intermarry with these other nations. Why? Not racial, but because they worshipped other gods, and that would infiltrate the town, the people. If denotes a choice. Now, to anyone single here, if you're going to start dating, number one on your list should be, is that person truly saved? Does that person inspire me to walk closer to God? Or does that person not even make a difference in my walk? Or is that person pulling me away? You should be looking for someone who inspires you to be closer to God. Otherwise, you could be looking at some very big problems. We all have choices to make. If we reason and choose to go against God's word, we run into huge problems. By the way, real interesting, write this in your margin. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I was going to read the whole thing, but looking at time, we don't have enough time to read that whole chapter. But I was going to. What it is basically in that chapter, God has commanded the Israelites to split into two groups on two opposing mountains with the valley in the center, two hills. Valley in the center basically made like an amphitheater. And one side would read all the blessings if you obeyed God's word. And then the other side would read and call out God's cursings if you disobeyed. And basically what God was saying is, in life, you and I get to choose which mountain we are going to be on. The destructive mountain or the mountain of blessings. And so be careful what you choose to do in this life. Verse 14, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And basically he's saying this, listen, all the earth is going to die. Let me ask a question. Who here will never die physically? Is anyone going to live physically forever? Everyone's right. We're on the same program, right? We signed up. We're in the same gang, same club. Yeah. Listen, Joshua's saying, and you know, we look here and we go, yeah, of course, we're all going to die. Yet too many people have become embittered towards God over the loss of a loved one. I've ran into more people when I say, hey, do you go to church? Well, I used to go to church, and then I got kind of bittered with God because my grandma died or my mama died when I needed them, or my sister died or my wife died. And so I just kind of got mad at God and turned away. It's like, we all know we're going to die. It's inevitable. Listen, there's never a day when someone says, gee, what a great day for you to die. Would you please? No, we don't say that. There's never a good day. But here Joshua, in such grace, he says, hey, by the way, you know, behold, today I'm going the way of everyone else in the earth. I'm dying today, folks. Oh, pity me. Please, everyone, gather around. Just give me hugs and let's all cry together. No. He's looking at them and he's warning them and wanting them to walk right with God and continue to have the blessings. What an awesome heart. Would that be your heart? If you were to find out that next week, or you got a week to live or 2 weeks, would you be more concerned with everyone you were going to leave behind, that they walk with God? Or you'd be like, yes, I'm scared. Hold me. Oh, you know, make it all about me. I got my bucket list here. You know, help me fill it out. A bucket list. I'll give you my bucket. I'll give you everything. I want to go with nothing. I just want to go before the Lord. I don't need no buckets. You know, it's like, I just want to skydive. Listen, when we go to heaven, forget about skydiving. We'll travel from heaven to earth at the speed of thought. But I want to skydive. Make skydive look boring. I want to drive a high-speed car. Travel at the speed of light to other galaxies. How about that? Bucket list. If you got a bucket list, bring it over. We'll wash my car. Good bucket. I like it. Okay. Anyways. Continue. And you know, in all your heart and all your soul, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Listen, do you realize, brothers and sisters, God doesn't need to be faithful to us. Who are we? Who are we to expect God to be faithful to us? Yet He is. He is faithful to us. What's even sadder, who are we to doubt His faithfulness? Who are we? God, I don't believe you're going to help me in this. I don't see any way out. And God's like, I've never failed you. I gave you life. I sent my son, but now I can't be faithful just because it's not on your timing? Listen, here's what Joshua is saying, and here's what I want to say to you. By the way, what Joshua is saying, Jesus said too, in a sense. You know what Jesus said? He said, folks, brothers and sisters, even greater things than he did will we do. That's what Jesus said. He said, greater things than these will you do. How about this? This actually has been the verse on my heart this month. I usually, God puts a verse and it just keeps coming back to my heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9 has been coming to my heart over and over. Men study just all over the place. It's just like, this is what God is telling me. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. So what is God doing right now, tonight? God's eyes are roaming and scouring the earth. He's looking for something, not his car keys. God's eyes are running to and fro. Listen to this. To show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Do you want God to be strong on your behalf? Who here wants to just see God just be mighty on your behalf, where 10,000 men would run from you because they would see God in you? Who here wants that? A couple of you? Some of you just like, I don't care. If he's here, he's not here. Are we done yet, sir? Who here wants God to be mighty on their behalf? Okay, still a couple. Man, wow, I'm going to pray for you. I saw you. I saw you. You don't have. I don't have no hands. My toes were up. If you could have seen, if I had no shoes on, they were high. I'm sorry. I don't know. Listen, I've seen God do a lot in the last 6 years. And you know what? I want more. I want more. And tomorrow, I want more. But you know what? I can stifle those blessings. You know how? Not being faithful. Not being faithful. Not having my heart loyal to Him. Allowing my heart to be stray and to go to this and be more occupied with that. And God says, well, yeah, Randy, I would love to show myself mighty on your behalf, but you have no concern for me. You don't believe my word. You want to be preoccupied with these other things. So I'll come back when you start to be faithful because I love you. And yes, you're saved, but the blessings aren't going to come to you, Randy, until you put your eyes to me when I'm your priority. Brothers and sisters, it's the same for you. And that's what Joshua is saying. Listen, you'll have victory, more land, more reward, more praise God things. Nobody's going to be able to stand up against you, but you have to be faithful to God. Now, here's a question. Please, if you're like checking out, don't check out. If you get one thing, get this part right here, okay? The question isn't, will God do great things here on earth in these last days? But will God find faithful men and women to do it through? That's the question. Does God want to do great things? You better believe it. He desires that none should perish, that all would come to repentance. But the only thing that stops God from doing the work that he wants to do, because he has chosen to use people to do it through, the only thing that stops him is whether or not we show ourselves faithful that he might show himself mighty. So here, that's the question. Will God do great things on the earth? Yes. But will God find faithful men and women in which to do them through? But now, the even more pressing question. Will you be faithful to be used by God? And that's a big if. That powerful conjunction in the Bible. If you obey, if you listen, if you respond, if you love, that's up to you. I like what D.L. Moody said, and I'll close with this. Oh, we're not done, are we? I got ahead of myself. Well, here's what D.L. Moody said. The world has yet to see what God can do through one man whose heart is fully devoted to him. Outside of Jesus Christ, the world has yet, because even Paul said, why do I do the things I do not want to do, and the things that I should do I don't do, but the things that I don't want to do, those things I practice. Oh, wicked man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? That was Paul. But Paul was more devoted than you or I. But he was human, so if he could do it, we could do it. So the only thing that's holding back is you and I and our choices, whether or not we're going to serve God or serve ourselves. Verse 15, therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things, until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, what happens when one of God's children go astray? It's not that God comes down and pounces on them. That's not the case. What God does when you or I go astray, he just removes his hands and lets the devil come in. Remember the prodigal son, the parable in Luke 15 of the prodigal son? The king didn't bring calamity on his son. The king gave him what the son wanted and let the son go. And he just waited, knowing that out there, what happens when you're outside of God's kingdom? Because the father was basically a symbolic of God. The Bible tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. So what happens is, you walk away from God. God says, fine, you want to walk away. He removes his hand of protection, and he lets the devil do what the devil wants to do to your life. That's why the devil tries to lure you out from underneath God's protection, to give yourself over to sin. Verse 16. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods. Once again, you will serve something. Something will become a priority in your life. It's either God or it's something else. But everybody serves something. You have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you. Okay, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Why would God be angry? Well, because if God has saved you, and I hope he has, if God has sent his son in order for you to be saved, and you turn away, what an insult. You put something else as a premium. Listen, if you put drugs, the drugs didn't die for you, and when trouble comes, you can pray to drugs all day long, and you will not get out of your calamity. They will not save you. In fact, they'll drag you down into a deeper hole. A relationship, ungodly relationship, will not save you. When trouble comes, try praying to that person and see how well they help. Sin is just our enemy. But death is a death. Sin is a death sentence. It's not just our enemy. It's a death sentence. We can't play with it, folks. You can't play with sin. And you definitely can't worship other idols. Because all the victory maybe you've been seeing in your life will all come crumbling down. Because God is looking for those who will be faithful on his behalf. Is that going to be you tonight? Is that going to be you tomorrow? And for those of you who didn't want to raise your hand, I'd seriously pray about whether you want to see God work in your life. I know I do. And so there's some adjustments we all need to make. And I don't have to tell you what they are because you probably feel them already. God's probably whispering them to you, bringing them to the surface. And he's saying, deal with this. Because if you don't, then don't be surprised if things go south. And he only does that because he's trying to bring you back to reality, spiritual reality. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. We thank you for all that you are in our lives. And Lord, tonight, I just ask, Lord, that there would be an awakening, Lord, for lack of a better way of thinking of it. Lord, would there be an awakening within our soul, Lord? Church is not a going through the motions, Lord. Church is a refocusing. And so, Father, tonight as we've looked at your word and we should be pondering, Lord, the things that you've done in our lives and the way that you've strengthened us and the victories you've given us. And so, Lord, tonight I just pray for my brothers and sisters that we'd all take a proper assessment of who we are and what you've brought us through and where we are going should we obey and where we would go if we disobey. God, you've made it clear. And so, Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters that they have all grasped this concept and take it to heart. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you.